The iron ore index took quite the dive, but can we expect a quick rebound from its current position at $116 to $118? Haupay has a hot take for you. On the freight side, we take a look at the Capesize surge and its much-felt ripple across the FFA market. Don't miss out on the Pacific's rising tides and the Atlantic's steady currents. And if that's not enough, Archie Smith delves into OPEC's extended cuts and the future of Brent crude prices. All this and more on Freight Up.
Freight Up!
Hello and welcome back to Freight Up. My name's Fernanda and I'll be your host as we navigate the seas of freight and commodities. I'm joined once again by Davide. Ciao, Davide. Como stai?
Ciao, Fernanda. I'm doing great. How are you today?
Doing real well. What do you got on the menu for us?
We have our usual roundup of the latest commodity and macro news. And then I was thinking of a three-course meal with Haupay on iron ore, Ben Klang on dry freight, and Archie on fuel oil. What does it look like?
Sounds filling. Let's get into it then.
So first this week, let's take a quick look at the commodity news. The OPEC Plus members have extended their voluntary cuts to oil production until the end of June, as it was announced by the Saudi Arabia State Agency. By the way, if you'd like to know more about it, don't miss our latest article on LinkedIn.
This week, we saw a series of preliminary estimates for inflation in Europe. The rate slowed to 2.9% in February from 3.1% in January in France, dropped to 2.5% from 2.9% in Germany, and remained stable at 0.8% in Italy, which should be a happy thing for Davide.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, the International Energy Agency said in its latest report that the world's carbon dioxide emissions from energy rose substantially to new records in 2023, 37.4 billion tons, despite the decrease of use in fossil fuels.
So before we get into the detail of our major commodity markets, let's take a look at the broad market movements of the week, which are quite positive on the freight side. We've seen some big movements in the Capesize index again. They went up like 29% week on week from Tuesday the 27th of February to Tuesday the 5th of March after a similar rise up last week, which has also led the smaller ships. They all moved up. So Panamax 5TC index went up just over $2,000 a day week on week. Supramax 10TC index went up 6.4% or $854. And the Handysize 7TC went up 13% or $13,599 a day.
And now let's talk about iron ore with Haupay. So Hao, the big headline this week was China's Politburo conference on Monday and Tuesday. What bearish news, if any, came out of it?
It was a big conference. Yes. All of our brokers is asking, like, what was the update for the conference today and what was yesterday? It's a really big event. There should be some coming out in late this week as well. And the regional policy probably coming in the next 2 weeks. I mean, the more details of the policies. We only get more of headlines and the government reports during this afternoon. I think the biggest stimulus, including a decreasing on a five-year length loan prime rate in February and many housing loans cut in January. So there could be some more policies coming, but no surprises, to be honest. The government report set the same GDP growth target and the same deficit ratio. And because 2023, the last year, has already set everything into extreme high and extreme high liquidity to boost the economy. The only surprise was the government is going to issue 1 trillion yuan or $139 billion. Of the ultra-long specialized bonds to support the economy. That's what happened during this year in the next three quarters. So that's the big headline.
That's quite the surprise, considering that when we spoke last week, the iron ore index was wallowing at about 116, 118. In light of this, do you think we can expect a rebound from here?
Yeah, I think unlike the surprising events is rolling on, but the index was quite boring during the past week. Well, in short run, I think we are at least stabilized here. That's the good news. Iron ore is getting out of biggest trouble, like eyeing 20% index drop and eyeing some recovery on construction sites, and the production of steels created the fastest single week growth over the past 5 months last week. And we also expecting production is going fast this week as well. the data is coming out tomorrow afternoon. And however, in general, seasonal wise, I think the pig iron production is in average 1% at least lower than the past January and February. And more to add, the port inventories are increasing faster than any of the February deliveries expected to pick up in March. Those are bad news to create resistance in mid-run. And however, in short run, we saw some improving margins on both derivative side and physical side, and it should be a trend which should support iron ore in short run. So in general, I hold a stabilization view on iron ore in short run. However, so far in mid-run, iron ore is overvalued at even this level, and index number shouldn't be the lowest of the year at the current level.
Well, it sounds like we're in for quite a ride, but luckily we have you to keep us informed, Hal. Thank you so much for your time this week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Fernanda.
And now let's talk about dry freight with Ben Klang. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Glad to have you back again on the show. So, Ben, we've seen another good movement up on the indexes and especially on the Capesize. So how has this fed through the wider FFA market?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, if we first take a look at the Cape FFA market, we saw increasing physical activity in the Pacific alongside steady rates in the Atlantic region for both transatlantic and frontal business. This pushed the TC spot rate towards the 35,000 mark. And, you know, we also saw high demand was evidenced on the key C5 iron ore route from West Australia to China, with rates lifting to over $12 for the end of March as the week progressed and $14.90 reported on Monday. The Cape FFA market began the week with a sell-off, with early trades in March at 28,000 and 27,750 before gapping down to $27,000, where good volume changed hand. Midweek, we saw a reverse in this trend with good movements up across the curve. March moving up to 30,300, while Cal 25 traded up to 22,000 on Wednesday. Early morning rates on Tuesday, we saw the market gap up with March and Q2 trading up to 31,750 and 31,500. And notably, Cal 25 traded of 85 days per month at $22,000. On Friday, we saw Q2 paid at 30.5, with March eventually getting to a high of 35,000. And, you know, if we look at the Panamax vessel, the week began on a softer note, but was quickly lifted by a firm Cape market and rising FFA prices. In the Atlantic, a healthy level of minerals and grain trade continued to provide some support. And on the coal front, demand again proved to be strong last week with higher cargo volumes out of Australia and Indonesia. And on the Panamax FFA, which has been range-bound trading lately, the week began with initial bid support being tested, with March printing at 15,350 down to 15.25, and Q2 at 16,750. With the index moving into the green through the week, this helped to bring some positive moves to the market. We saw good support across the curve to close the week, pushing off the Cape move. March printed 16,600 and Q2 printed up to 18,100. Monday this week opened with good size as March printed at 17,25 and Q2 traded up to 19,000. The evening saw March traded down to 16,650 and Q2 closed trading at 18,300. And on the Supermax, whereas similar to the Panamaxes with range-bound trading, with rates gradually slipping before being bid up midweek, Tuesday we saw March trade up to 15K and April at 16,600, while Q2 traded up to 16,000. We did see some post-index offer pressure on Thursday with front contracts off around $1,000 before an end of the week recovery that continued this week. As with both Capes and Panamaxes, we saw another cooling off on trading yesterday.
Thank you, Ben. And what about volumes? So we have reported a high on the year last week. So how's the last week gone?
Well, once again, Cape took the spotlight in last week's trading, with trading volume reaching over 9,100 days per day, compared to 5,300 days for Panamaxes and 1,600 days for Supermaxes. As February drew to a close, we noticed a massive volume increase in the C5 voyage route amid growing interest from market participants, especially from ship owners and operators' side. C5 volume hit the record high of 24,320 lots, or 24.35 million tons equivalent, into February, and 35,195 lots, or 36,195 million tons in the past 2 months, which is up 104.8% month on month and 122% year on year, respectively.
Ben, thank you very much for your update. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in touch with Ben in Copenhagen, just shoot him an email at benk@fredinvestor.com. Ben Klang, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And now let's talk fuel oil with Archie Smith. Archie, you're alive.
I'm alive, yes. Survived.
You made it back last week. There's quite a few things going on in your world that we need you to tell us about. So We recently learned that OPEC Plus cuts will continue until the end of June. Brent crude prices are rising, but much to Saudi Arabia's chagrin, analysts believe that it's not going to reach the $100 a barrel mark. What's your hot take on this?
Yeah, I mean, the cuts getting extended by OPEC were very expected by the market. So for that to have a major impact on prices was a bit of a stretch. I think what came as more of a surprise was actually Russia have decided to cut a further almost 500,000 barrels a day in production and exports in Q2. I think that was the more kind of surprising thing, that the market didn't expect as much. So that, along with the geopolitical tensions, definitely has the potential to add support to the prices. I think the OPEC cuts on their own won't be enough, because, I mean, you know, they've been cutting since summer last year. So it's, you know, it's kind of priced in, I would imagine, already by the market. And, you know, like I said, the Russian further cuts to exports, that was a surprise. And that's kind of helped to bolster prices and the kind of longevity of that. Well, I suppose time will tell. With regards to the $100 per barrel mark, yeah, I mean, my opinion is cuts alone won't be enough to hit that level. You know, you're already seeing it from a lot of the investment banks and a lot of the kind of energy majors who release forecasts on the Brent crude for 2024. Some of them who were coming in above the $100 per barrel mark last year, kind of at each revision, that's been reduced and reduced and reduced. And, you know, some of them are either on track to go sub 100 or already are sub 100, you know, kind of around $90 per barrel mark, 85, whatever it may be, depending on the bank or institution that you're looking at. So yeah, cuts alone for $100 per barrel mark, my opinion, no. I think that's going to come more from an escalation in conflicts, wherever that may be, Russia, Ukraine or Middle East.
I have another question for you, which is on the front very low sulfur fuel oil cracks and spreads, which we've seen being more volatile than usual at the beginning of this week. Can you maybe tell us why this happened?
Monday morning had some real big swings in the cracks, particularly in the Sing window, which is the Singapore closing window, which is kind of morning time. Europe finishes around 8:30. It's normally about 8 to 8:30 a.m. London time. This is when there was some real big volatility, which is fairly usual in the Singapore window anyway. That's just kind of usual trading activity. This week in particular, what we were hearing from the market was that a particularly big Asian player had got back on the bid side after quite a long hiatus. You know, so they were coming back into the physical window, buying fuel, and that was pushing the price up quite drastically. So the April crack got to about $15 per barrel, which is a certainly a recent high. But, you know, it was swinging kind of 20-15 cents during the window. And it has since the last couple of days, it has cooled right off. So we're actually a dollar down from that $15 high. When I left my desk, it's trading around 14s. The reason we've kind of seen it slip off the last couple of days is because the daily 0.5 sing settlements have come in quite a lot lower than what the market expected, which has added quite a lot of downward pressure on the front month. That's the reason we've kind of seen it slip back. And on the topic of cracks, the high sulfur crack we're looking at this time for Europe in particular, it's up about $1.50 on the week. And I think we could expect to see that climb higher as we go into the refinery maintenance season for Europe, which kind of starts March and runs through March. So I think, you know, with that ongoing, we could see that European high sulfur crack creep even further up.
All right, Archie. Well, thank you so much for that. And on behalf of all of your legions of fans, I thank you.
Thank you very much. Good to be on the show again. And I'll see you next week.
Well, that's it for us this week. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe on wherever you get your podcasts. And if you miss us too much, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn or get signed up for our FIS Live app to make sure that you never miss any freight and commodity analysis from FIS. See you next time.